Good morning. Again, let's happy Father's Day to all the dads today. All right, you know, it's a special day, and it's a day that we choose to honor our Father, and we certainly need to remember to honor most of all our Father in heaven. Thank you. I have a double stereo.
No, it's turned off. You want this up here?
Sure. Please. Yeah. Thank you. Today I'm going to talk to you about Joseph. Now, Joseph that I'll be talking about is the Joseph that God had chosen to rear his only son in this world, Mary's Joseph, okay? And I thought that's kind of interesting because Joseph had a dilemma in his life, and God chose some very, very special people. And God chose Mary. I was even reading this morning, I was going to say favored person, but the Bible says most favored person, a most favored person. And Joseph was called a faithful individual. And so I was reading an article. This is sad. There's not a major punchline to this little story, so don't expect it. But it was a story about a man who was dying. And his wife had died several years before him. And he had no family whatsoever. They did have a four-year-old young girl. And his main concern that before he would die, that he'd be able to find a place for his daughter, someone who would take care of her, someone who he could trust and take care of. And he searched and searched for a long time to find the right person because he didn't have a whole lot of time, but he was looking and looking. And finally, one day, through the church, a Christian couple came and said they would take and adopt a child for them. And he was so very, very happy with that and pleased. And then he went on to be with the Lord, knowing that someone could take care of his child. And when I was reading this little story, which was sad, and it reminded me of how specific our Heavenly Father must have been in choosing the right people to rear up his child in this world, all right? They had to be very, very special before all that they were about to go through. Not only to accept this unbelievable, miraculous incarnation of Jesus Christ, but they had to be willing and able to deal with all the trouble that was going to be coming ahead for them. And so, if you have your Bibles, we'll be looking in Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 1. We'll pick up with verse 18 in a few minutes. So if you want to turn to that, you can go ahead. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And so we know the story, the virgin birth. The child was being, you know, Mary was to be conceived. Mary says, how can this be? I have not been with anyone. She was engaged to Joseph. And in the time of our Lord, to be engaged to an individual was really a very phase of the marriage itself. And for all practical purposes, they were married, except they wouldn't consume or they wouldn't live together. And that would take about a year's time. But everything else would be planned. And even if you were to break off your engagement, you had to be divorced. So that's how serious an engagement was considered. And so when Joseph, you can only imagine when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, what he must have felt, right? you know, I think I mentioned it too often, but I like the video, the Nativity, okay? And in there it shows Joseph and the people in the town first finding out that Mary was pregnant when she's returning from visiting with Elizabeth and her journey back after being with Elizabeth for 3 months, and therefore she was 3 months pregnant. And a little boy runs up to her, and you know, in the movie, and is rubbing her stomach, you know, and because there's a little bump there. And so then all of a sudden everybody looks in shock, you know. When it all sets in. And can you go imagine how Joseph must have felt? You know, he must have felt hurt. He must have felt cheated upon. He must have been heartbroken. You know, he was so excited and preparing for this long life that he was going to have with Mary. And now, what else could he think? Before this time, it's the only possible way that a woman could have a child would be with her husband. And here we have this supernatural overshadowing of the Holy Spirit that God allows to impregnate Mary and to bear a child. And so what else could he think? And so here we have Joseph, a father to be, and it's not the way he expected this to happen. And so he has a big dilemma. And if you look at verse 18 and 19, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, you can see what type of person Joseph was as we get to this and look at verse 19. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 19, we begin to get an insight of the type of person that Joseph was. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You know, in those days, a divorce, you could write a certificate and release someone, from their divorce if everybody was in agreement to that. And so Joseph had this dilemma. Now, if he wants to be just, he's been a righteous man. It says there that he's a faithful person, that he always has been faithful to the law, and he wants to abide by the law. And if he abides by the law, according with Deuteronomy 22, and unfaithfulness, Mary would have to be stoned. You know, I remember when I said that for several times in Master's Church. I just share this with you. A group of teenagers in the back, they kind of were smirking, you know. I'm talking about stoning. And, I asked my son, what was so funny back there? He says, well, you said Mary was stoned. I said, no, you know, we think of being stoned now as being high, you know, not being, and I should know that. I was lived in the 60s, so I should have known that and realized that. But it was to be put to death, okay? What a punishment that was. And if you look at Deuteronomy 22, 23, even 24, 24 talks about a circumstance here where, there were three or four possibilities that could have happened. And the possibilities were, first of all, that Joseph and Mary broke the law and were together with one another before they got married. That was one. This is how the people might view what was going on in their life. They must have had relationships, and that's unlawful. So I'm sure they were grumbling and getting the stones ready and everything for that. But the second thing is that Mary simply was unfaithful, and Joseph had to be thinking that because he knew that he wasn't with her, and so he had to be thinking she was unfaithful to me. And that's the second thing. Mary was unfaithful. That's what they had to be thinking. The third thing is that she wasn't a virgin when they first got married. And he also was thinking that. He had to be thinking all these things. The natural process, the normal situation would be that's what was taking place without putting God into the picture yet, okay? And so I was looking about, you know, and I'm not going to go through details on that, but Deuteronomy 24 talks about whether someone, the proof of a wife who's was a virgin, okay? And I'll just make it very simple. There was a marriage cloth that the parents retained to prove that she was a virgin in case that ever came up. And you can only imagine the whole story behind that. But look at it in Deuteronomy 24 if you sometime. Excuse me. Thank you for these tissues. And so here's the situation. And it's also said that some of the greatest people, our true character comes out in a time of crisis. And as I said earlier, you know, Joseph has a real dilemma what to do. He wants to remain righteous and just to the law, yet he, and this also gives you some insight about how he felt about Mary. He didn't want to put her to shame. So there's still that love there, you know, that he had for Mary. He must have had love for Mary. You saw the fiddle on the roof, right? And love wasn't necessarily part of the marriage. I love the part when at the end, do you love me, right? They keep saying, do you love me? They're married for so long. Do they really love each other? Well, that's how it could be in a marriage, you know, they're just together. But I feel that Joseph and Mary truly had a love for each other from how we read. And so we have the scripture that's related to this. Isaiah 7:14 says that the child would be born a virgin. 700 years before Jesus Christ enters in the world, Isaiah 7:14 says that the child would be born of a virgin. And you shall call him Emmanuel. Perfect. Emmanuel means God with us. So now Jesus is with us, and he was born of a virgin. And if you look at Isaiah, a lot of people will, say that Isaiah doesn't necessarily say that, because the word, the Hebrew word for woman is young woman instead of saying virgin. And of course, a young woman in those days were a virgin. You know, they were virgin. And but what we have here is confirmation in the New Testament that scripture was referring very specifically to this event that Mary was a virgin. And it says it right there. I'll jump ahead just a second. In verse 22, real quick, I'll be going over this again quickly. But all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And that's from Isaiah 7:14. And so this prophecy is being fulfilled. It's validated in the New Testament that prophecy that was said way back then 700 years ago was specifically relating to this event and was specifically talking about a young woman who was a virgin. And so here he has this dilemma, and he decides how to handle this is he'll give her a divorce, and he'll divorce her quietly, and I don't know what the rest of the plan might have been. Was he going to move away, or was she, you know, he going to send her away? I don't know, but he had a plan that he would secretly divorce her and send her away. And I really feel that at this point, that verse of scripture shows that he had still had a deep concern for Mary. And so his dilemma, again, to be faithful, and to not bring upon her the disgrace that she would get if it gets out to everybody. And it also shows that he was faithful to God, just and right. Now, at this point, God sees what Joseph is thinking, and he seems to say, well, I think it's time I better send down an angel and straighten Joseph out, all right? I better let him know what's going on altogether here so that he doesn't do something foolish. He's probably thought good of him for doing the type of thing that he was planning, but God wants him to know that he shouldn't be planning that. And so that comes up in the very next two verses. God reveals to Joseph the truth. And you know, the truth is an interesting thing. The truth remains the truth. God always says the truth. In fact, I was reading in Luke's account of this virgin event, you know, it says that nothing is impossible with God, right, at the end. And the NIV's version of that in Luke, which really surprised me that as I was looking at it, said that God's word is always true, meaning the same thing, but a little different way. You know, that powerful statement that, you know, nothing is impossible for God is kind of changed in the NIV. But the truth is that nothing will change. And the truth remains the truth whether people believe it or not. You know, God is true. And God's truth is always the truth. It doesn't depend on us, actually, because God's truth is the truth whether the people in the world believe it or not. It doesn't change God. God is always truthful. And he comes to Joseph here through his angel. And because it says there in verse 20, but after he had considered this, you know, about divorcing Mary quietly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you ought to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Okay, so God now comes, intervenes, sends this angel, gives Joseph this updated information, so now he knows that it's coming from God, it's true, and Joseph will now accept Mary to be his wife and to accept everything else that he was going to have to go through, all right? And, you know, they were going to have to live with this. That wasn't taken away from them. They have the way that God chose to bring his son into the world. Mary and Joseph had to be very strong, faithful individuals, willing to put up with a lot, right? And not for one of them to skip town and leave or just say, I'm out, I can't deal with this, Joseph. Joseph had to be a person with strong, faithful, belief in God. And once God actually comes to tell him that this is, you know, Mary is conceived, it's an act of God, it's through the Holy Spirit, and so he needs to, he needs to make a decision. You know, the truth is, we read the gospel, we read the truth, the Bible is the truth from Genesis to Revelation, every bit of it, every word is the truth. There's some symbolism in the Bible, there's some things that aren't literal, and they're not intended to be, but it's the truth that comes to us from God. And so we need to believe it, but we still have to respond to the truth. And even though now Joseph had learned the truth of what was going on with Mary, he still had to respond. He still had to deal with it, and he had to decide what to do. And let's read the rest of this in 22. All right. All this took place. Oh, we already read. I'm sorry. We'll reread that. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So now, when Joseph needs to respond to all this new information and this visit from this angel, and when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. And so what does that show us here about Joseph? Again, he was obedient to God. He did what the Lord had commanded him to do. And, what a change of events, right? What a sign of faithfulness. He went from, how to deal with this dilemma. What am I going to do about this? I'm going to be publicly disgraced. Everything I've ever done is going to be lost. The way people look at us will be terrible. I had this whole home plan, a business I've been planning. I'm a carpenter. I want to do all these things, and now everything's ruined. You know, he must have felt crushed before the angel. And so once that the angel fills him in on the truth, he then has to respond to it, and he responds by doing everything that God commanded him. All right, and I think that's a very important lesson for every one of us. You know, we can be told what to do. We can read what God would want us to do, but we have to respond. I like what he said at the communion meditation that, obedience, we need to be obedient. You know, obedient is not a works. And I thank you for saying that, because so many people, that's a way of getting around a lot of things. You know, if you're baptized in Christ, you're being obedient, and obedience is a work. And we didn't gain our salvation by work. How ridiculous is that? God had commands us to be baptized. Believe, repent, and be baptized. It's a command from God. And so it's just simply being obedient in life and accepting God. So it's very important. Obedience is very important. So he does the right thing. He does the righteous thing. He does the ethical thing. Ethics today is another thing. Actually, in the big companies, they kind of teach a standard of conduct about ethics, and so some of them really try to do, really the best, but there's small businesses are becoming very unethical these days, they make the decision. I was actually looking at a cartoon, and in the cartoon, I guess it was the chairman at the conference table, and everybody's sitting around the table, must have been the board or whatever, and he says, well, it looks like we're going to have to do the right thing and be ethical. And then he goes on to say, but let's not panic. Let's not resort to that unless it's the last effort, we need to do what's right in God's eyes. You know, being righteous means being right. Being right in the eyes of God. God is righteous. We're in Christ. So we should strive to be righteous as he is righteous. And so, to sum up Joseph and Mary and Joseph as a father, even though he first had these emotional problems, even though he was first hurt, even though he must have been brokenhearted, he must have felt cheated upon, he still, even before the angel came to him, was deciding what he could do for Mary, which shows that he had some feelings there and was concerned about her, didn't just, you know, get so angry he wanted to dump her and turn away and do nothing about it. So he had feelings for her. He was concerned about her as well. And he was faithful. So he dealt with that. And so obedience to God shows faithfulness, righteous and just. And again, back to the Nativity movie that I mentioned. You got to watch that. I think that is I don't watch a lot of Christian movies because I really am concerned about how they go off the deep edge and away from, you know, biblical aspect. But I think Nativity sticks with there. And of course, there's certain events that we don't know had to happen. So, but as Joseph and Mary are leaving the town to go to Bethlehem, right? They're finally going to head to Bethlehem now. They're walking out of the town and the people are all looking at them like with mean faces. And Joseph turns to Mary and he says, I can see they're all sorry we're leaving. I see they hate to see us go, you know. And it's kind of like a realistic point, you know. This is how the people thought then, you know. And people think that way today, you know. But what we need to try and do today is, do we decide to worship God or do we give into the world on different things? We need to be obedient to God. So about this, let me include about us dads today, okay? How should we respond to the gospel today? And let's take a look at just one verse of scripture that I have. I had two, but I'm going to leave it with one. John 14, verse 15. John 14, you're probably familiar with this already. John 14, beginning with verse 15. John 14, beginning with verse 15. Now, this is for each and every one of us that are here, not just dads as well. It's for Jesus says to us, I've given you my word, I've given you my commands, and this is important that you understand this in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. This is how we show God our response of our love back to him, by keeping his commands, by doing his will. And I will ask the Father, who will give you another. And I always mention that the another there in Greek is the word elos, which means another of the same kind. There's two phrases for another in the Greek language. It's another of a different kind and another of the same kind. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, an advocate to help you to be with forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Well, we see him. We don't see him, but we know him, right? And the world neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, he's saying. He lives with you and will be in you. Will be in you, okay? And what does he say in verse 18, which is very important for us today? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, okay? And so, you know, God calls for us to be obedient today, and it's still applicable, you know. Obedience is very important to God. In fact, the entire Old Testament leading up to the New Testament is about the nation of Israel, their obedience, then their disobedience, their rebellion, their repentance, then back to obedience, and on and on and on. And so we need to be steadfast. And so let me just close here. Did I say I was closing already? This is my second closing. I just have three little notes, three things to read, and I'll close with this. These are things we should remember, perhaps. Sometimes it's when there's danger. Sometimes it's when there is a calm. You know, the Chinese symbol for danger is a symbol that has two letters. One means danger, crisis, and the other one means opportunity. So in their word for crisis is how to handle it is danger, but opportunity, okay? Sometimes it is when we are in a secure, stable condition where that God often nudges us to help us to grow in our faith, okay? So we can't be too passive, and if we're in a crisis, we need to try to remember to rise above that circumstances that God might be trying to do something here in our lives. And I know that's easier said than done. The second thing is eventually when we are faced with a dilemma, like Joseph, we have to decide whether we will follow God or ourselves or the world. All right? Those are our choices. And I hope as Christians we've already decided that we'll follow God, even in a time of crisis. And the last thing is that following God sometimes requires trust, a commitment, but it's something we will never, ever regret. Okay? It may not be easy, you know, with a commitment. You know, we're told in the Bible in Romans chapter 12 that we're to be living sacrifices, no longer sacrificing animals, but we are to live as sacrifices to God. And so as we live and serve God and as we're obedient to Him, it sends up an aroma to God that is pleasing to Him. And so that's how God would have it. But that takes sacrifice sometimes, right? There's certain sacrifice we need to make. That's why we're here today. We want to be and learn more about God and worship and praise Him. And so I think I was not sure if I would pick Joseph as a father. It might be, you know, strange, but I think it's a good lesson because he had a dilemma, and the way he handled his dilemma is a great example for each and every one of us. God bless. Thank you. Thanks for removing the wire.